Good morning, everyone. So just a quick poll. How many of you are familiar with the National Death Reporting System or have it in your state? Okay. So I have no relationships to disclose. I have to get that out of the way. So the California Electronic Violent Death Reporting System was modeled after the national system. And for those of you who are not familiar, this is a system designed by the CDC it's an innovative surveillance system that combines death certificates, coroner and medical examiner reports, and law enforcement reports to better understand the circumstances of violent deaths. With the last round of funding, I believe there's about 32 states that are funded. California was funded from 2006 to 2008, but we lost funding because we were not able to get law enforcement data. It was very difficult. So the State Department of Public Health decided to develop their own system that was closely modeled after the national system with some foundation funding. So that's the data that we're talking about now. In California, about 14 of the 58 counties participate, and that's about 57% of all violent deaths. And they have a web-based system where we abstract data from the various reports that we're able to get. And we restarted our participation in the system in LA County in 2013. And LA County is very large, so we are able to contribute a third of all violent deaths in the state of California. LA County is very complex, which has made this surveillance system implementation challenging. We have 88 cities, 3 health departments, 1 medical examiner coroner, and 46 law enforcement agencies that we need to develop partnerships with for this system. And this report will focus on data from 2010 to 2011, and it includes death certificates and coroner records, including toxicology, and some limited law enforcement data. In LA County, like the nation, we're seeing homicide rates drop fairly, significantly since their peak in the 90s, but there's still a significant public health issue, particularly impacting youth ages 15 to 24, where homicide is the number one cause of death. It outpaces motor vehicle collisions, which I think is number one for most of the country. Disproportionately impacting African-American and Hispanic young men. Firearms are involved in about 75% of all LA County homicides. And if we look at the data from the two largest law enforcement agencies, Los Angeles Police Department and the Sheriff's Department, an estimated 57% of all homicides were gang-related. So, we have to deal with two other health departments to get access to their death certificates. We have Long Beach. We're working on an MOU with Pasadena so we can do that. We were able to, through the state, get supplemental homicide reports, which are reported through the FBI, to get some law enforcement data. And we're getting some limited variables from the city of Long Beach. They're basically just telling us if it's gang-related or intimate partner violence-related. And for this presentation, we're looking at demographics and circumstances, and we're also looking at geography to see, compare where these incidents cluster in the county and how far away victim residence is from, victim injury. So in Los Angeles County, with our data, we found that 47% of all homicides were gang-related. And we did this analysis earlier for the abstract earlier this year. We found that the addition of the supplemental homicide report increased the accuracy of gang-related. We saw a great increase in that proportion. Demographics, there were significant differences for gang and other homicides. Gang homicides were younger with a mean age of 26.2 and had a slightly smaller age range. 95% of gang-related homicides were males, where only 73% of other homicides were males. Gang homicides also impacted a greater proportion of African-American victims. And a much greater proportion of 15 to 29-year-olds. You can see 72% of gang homicides impacted this age group. Circumstances for the gang homicides, 96%, nearly all gang homicides involved a firearm. It was only a little more than half for other homicides. They're more likely to occur outside on a street, sidewalk, or alley, you know, which is, you know, as you would expect. And drive-by shootings compromise about 19% of gang homicides. We're seeing that decrease a lot in LA County. I don't know if that's common, you know, in the rest of the country as gang dynamics change. And gang homicides, the suspect is about 31% are likely to be a stranger, according to the law enforcement records. Whereas with other homicides, you're more likely to be killed by someone you know, whether it's an intimate partner, a family member, or another acquaintance. And with other homicides, less than 1% of the gang homicides were intimate partner violence related, but we found 13% of other homicides were. And that may be more a factor of how law enforcement characterizes the homicides than, you know, what's going on there. And here's LA County. You can see with there's a beige outline of the city of LA. Might be a little hard to see it there. But on the left, you can see how the gang homicide rates are very clustered and, you know, what you probably all, you know, be familiar with is South Central Los Angeles. And there are some pockets and different suburban and urban areas in the county. And the other homicides are much more widespread throughout the county. And if you see up in the north, that's a rural area of LA County, the Antelope Valley. We also looked at, you know, we calculated line distance in ArcGIS to see how close to home these homicides were occurring. We were able to geocode the injury and the residence location for 89% of the gang homicides and just 70% of other homicides. And then we narrowed this down to only those that did not occur in the home. And we found that the gang homicides were much more likely to be closer to home than other homicides. We also compared youth, age 0 to 19, with age 20 and older, just to get a general idea of how there might be an age shift in the dynamics of gang homicides. For youth age 0 to 19, 59% were gang-related. The rest of the statistics just focus on the gang-related homicides. Among youth, it's far more likely to impact Latino victims than among the adult or 20 and over gang homicides, which were more likely to impact African-American victims. For youth, it was much more likely to occur on the street and to involve a rival gang member than the older gang homicides. And they were much, much more closer to home for the youth. So we may be seeing a different dynamic with the younger gang members than we are with the older gang members. And these were all significant, all of these circumstances. We also did a comparison looking at City of LA and LA County with the National Violent Death Reporting System. There was an MMWR that came out looking at gang homicides among several metropolitan areas. In LA County, there's a higher proportion of young teenage victims and a higher proportion of Latino victims. And looking at trends, the earlier 2006 to 2008 analysis for City of LA, we saw 42% of homicides were gang-related. With our more recent data, we found 65%, and this may be a reflection of the trends, but it's also the addition of the law enforcement data, which, you know, added some more detail than we could get from the coroner reports. We also saw a change in age, the age increase in the City of LA from 2006-2008 to the newer 2010 data. The proportion of 15 and 19-year-old victims decreased. The proportion of African-American victims increased and drive-by shootings decreased. So just to discuss some of the limitations with this system. You know, it's a very difficult system to implement since our jurisdiction is so decentralized, but it's been a very interesting process. We're working on building capacity to fill the data gaps to catch up to the point where we can present, you know, more recent data to get 2009 up to date and to, you know, get data through 2014 or 2015. We found that the coroner narratives underestimate gang involvement, but the supplemental homicide reports may also underestimate compared to law enforcement records if we are able to get law enforcement records from at least the two really big agencies, then we could get more accurate estimates. However, it's important to note that definitions of gang-related crimes differ among law enforcement agencies and can be very controversial, and some would say overused. For example, the Sheriff's Department, LAPD, they classify any homicide as gang-related if the victim or the perpetrator was a gang member. However, another definition that is not as often used only characterizes homicide as gang-related if it is perpetrated to benefit a gang. And some would say it's overused, if a homicide occurs in a neighborhood which has significant gang rivalry, which there are many, then it may be automatically characterized as gang-related. So it's a very tricky issue. The other limitation we had was the accuracy of the reported residence and the incident's location. We see differences depending upon what report you look like. Sometimes the residence would be next of kin and not the victim. And the address might be different on the records. So just some conclusions. These data surveillance systems are very valuable for understanding the unique characteristics of homicides and looking at gang homicide dynamics. But it's important to recognize with the definitional issues, these findings may reflect, changing gang trends and activity, but they may just reflect activity that law enforcement is more likely to characterize as gang-related. And the geography of gang homicides warrants further analysis. This is something we want to dive into more and look into in more detail once we have more years of data. And this is just an example of how important data systems like this are, to look at not just national and state trends, but to drill down more into counties or cities or jurisdictions to help guide prevention and intervention efforts. I just want to acknowledge some of our partners, the California Department of Public Health, who manages the system. We have a great relationship with our county Department of Coroner Medical Examiner, who's very interested in how we're using the data, and the City of Long Beach Department of Health and Police Departments. We are, in the process of developing agreements with Los Angeles Police Department, Pasadena Department of Public Health, and the Sheriff's Department, and hoping to bring this on the road to the other agencies. And here's some more information if you're interested. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. We do have some time for questions for Kelly.
Yes.
I just wonder if you got any data on maybe school-related gang violence or any injuries you see maybe in schools or
in that? That's something we don't have now, but we've always been really interested in getting the school data, but it's very, very hard to get data from the school police department. That's something we want to work on. We found that many schools are in denial that they have a problem and just say that it's outside. So, yeah, that's something we definitely want to get.
I have one question for Kelly. So, why is there so little access to police department data? So, what are the key barriers to getting their participation, and also have you showed them what you can do with any of the data, because that might be an incentive to get their participation? Can you come to the microphone?
Yeah, it's been interesting with the law enforcement data. In 2000, when we started to do this project in 2006, before I actually worked there, we got letters from both LAPD and the Sheriff's Department. I saw copies of that, literally said, we don't have the funding to provide the records for you, and even if we did, we wouldn't give it to you. But that's changed a lot, I think, with leadership change and with government and law enforcement wanting to be more transparent and share data. They're more willing to partner. Some of it is a resource issue. Some of it, I think there's a misperception of what public health is and that we do handle confidential data. We try to tell them this, but then they treat us like we're a public records, you know, request or a public information request. Another issue we have is, you know, they're concerned about open cases, so they don't want to give us recent data, which we understand. A couple of the agencies are willing, you know, if they can run a query and just tell us how many were gang-related and we can link it, that's great, but they don't want to give us many more details. The Sheriff's Department actually agreed to provide us much more detailed information. They almost started to give us redacted reports, but then they were worried that they might forget to redact something and then they want to enter it themselves. So we're working on getting them funding to pay a clerk to help enter that data in the system.
Thank you, Kelly.